Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Thriving Metabolism, where we discuss everything that impacts your hormones and metabolism so that you can take control, repair the damage, and lose weight consistently without making yourself miserable in the process. Most weight loss strategies and diets actually do harm to your metabolism, resulting in further weight gain down the road. And it can be a particularly challenging time for women over the age of 40 due to hormonal and metabolic changes. So it's my mission to empower you so that you and your metabolism thrive and you never have to go through diet misery again. I'm Louise Digby, registered nutritional therapist, weight loss expert, and founder of the Nourish Method to Lasting Fat Loss. Welcome to the very first episode. I'm so excited to be launching this podcast. The struggle is real when it comes to weight loss for women after the age of 40, and it's not talked about enough. And it frustrates me to the core that women are told to lose weight in ways that are physically and mentally damaging. And typical weight loss approaches, they can often be harmful and really, you know, damage your long-term health and lead to more weight gain. And it's a travesty that in 2023, the standard advice is still to just eat less and exercise more. Actually, I saw something super relevant the other day. Dr. Tim Spector, who is well known in the nutrition world, I don't know whether people outside of the industry know who he is, but he's done a lot of work on the gut microbiome and genetics and how they relate to obesity. And there were big headlines this week because Dr. Tim said something bold. He said that calories are, quote, pointless and a total lie. And this is what I was planning on talking about this week, so it must be a sign from the universe. This is something that I have been preaching about for years, and I regularly get fitness gurus and whoever commenting on my social media posts saying, I cannot believe a qualified nutrition professional is sharing this incorrect information. You're scamming people, blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, I'm just following the research, and so is Dr. Tim. You know, it's pretty huge that someone from the conventional medicine world is sharing this information. And it's actually, you know, he's taking notice of the research instead of blindly following the government guidelines, which are still promoting highly processed foods and the food pyramid of all things. Anyway, today we are going to be digging into why calories are pointless and why they really are the last thing that you should be looking at or looking for in your food labels. We've been told since the day that we were born that to lose weight, we need to eat fewer calories than we burn, right? Well, on a very basic level, yes, in theory, this is true. However, there is a but, and it has a capital B. Tell me this, what controls whether we're burning or storing fat? What controls the type of fuel we're using, whether we're burning fats or carbs? What controls the speed of our metabolism, the speed of our calorie burning? Well, the answer is not calories. Calories do not impact any of these things. They are simply a unit of fuel. And not all calories are equal. 100 calories from jam on toast has a very different impact on your body to 100 calories from steak. What they don't tell you is that you have control over how efficiently you burn fat or calories, and it's not through just exercising more. You have control over the speed of your metabolism, and if you speed up your metabolism and you take steps to stay in fat burning mode for as long as possible, you'll be able to lose weight without worrying about calories. So, Going back to my questions about what controls the speed and efficiency of your metabolism, well, the answer is hormones. And you might be thinking, but I can't control my hormones, Louise. I don't choose to be a moody cow before my period. Well, actually, you can control your hormones. While you can't control how your hormones make you feel, you can take steps to get your hormones balanced. Everything that you do impacts your hormones. What are you doing right now? Are you looking at a screen? Are you having a snack? Are you going for a walk? Are you decorating? You know, all of these things impact your hormones in one way or another. And that's a really good thing because it means that you have so much potential to positively influence your hormones and get them balanced. So what hormones are involved here? Well, there's lots that I could mention because there are many that indirectly influence your food intake and moods and your overall progress. But let's stick with the ones that directly impact fat burning. Firstly, we've got insulin. Now, we tend to think of insulin as something that we only really need to worry about if we're worried about diabetes. But let me tell you, it's a key player for anyone who wants to lose weight and keep it off. Insulin is a hormone that gets released when we have too much sugar in the blood. And that happens not only when you have too much sugary stuff, but also every time you have a meal that's unbalanced, particularly if it's a little bit carb heavy. Now, insulin brings down your blood sugar level by stimulating your cells to open the gates and absorb sugar. This is great if you need more fuel to make energy. However, more often than not, you might be sitting on the sofa or sitting at your desk and you don't need loads of fuel. So that excess sugar gets stored as fat. So for that reason, we think of insulin as our fat storage hormone. Then we have glucagon. Now, this is the opposite to insulin. This gets released when blood sugars are a little bit low, and it stimulates the release of sugars from your sugar stores to help normalize blood sugar levels. And if sugar stores are low, then it helps to trigger the conversion of fats into sugars. So, because of this, we know glucagon as the fat burning hormone. Now, another hormone that doesn't often get mentioned, it's a key hormone and it's called adiponectin. This is released from your fat tissue itself and it tells your body how sensitive it needs to be to the effects of insulin. Too little adiponectin means that your body is going to need to release loads of that fat storage hormone, insulin, so that it can do its job. And we don't want that. Now, another hormone, and this makes everybody's ears prick up when I mention this one. It is the thyroid hormones. Now, there's going to be many episodes dedicated to the thyroid. Don't you worry. What you need to know for now is that the thyroid controls the speed of your metabolism. Now, here's the important part. The bit that you really need to pay attention to. In order to balance your hormones so that you can burn fat efficiently and at a healthy rate, you need the following. Number one, you need a healthy gut, and I'm talking balanced gut bacteria and good digestion and absorption. You need a liver that is detoxing efficiently, not just one that's healthy. You know, your blood tests can tell you that you've got a healthy liver, and while that's great, that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about a liver that is detoxing efficiently, one that is removing your hormones efficiently, one that is not heavily burdened with other things to be detoxing. You need nutrients. the big ones like proteins and fats, as well as the little ones like vitamins and minerals and amino acids and things like salts and antioxidants. You need to fight inflammation. You need to be sleeping well. You need to be proactively tackling stress and supporting your body with nutrition to help you have a healthy biochemical response to stress. You need to be avoiding foods that you're intolerant to. You need to be preserving and building your muscle and more. You know, this isn't an exhaustive list and it's a lot to think about. And a really common question is, but I never worried about any of that stuff before, and I could drop weight easily when I was in my 20s. And that's a really good point. When you're in your 20s or even your 30s, your metabolism was naturally faster and your hormones and blood sugars were likely to be more stable. And things unfortunately change with time. But also, if you've been yo-yo dieting, if you've been chronically stressed, if you've been, you know, if you've experienced traumatic events like bereavements or divorce, if you've been sleep deprived for years, if you've not met your body's nutritional needs for years, you know, this is all going to take a toll over time. And many of the imbalances that contribute to stubborn weight can take decades to start causing problems. So there we have it. I rest my case. I've made my point. It's time to forget about calories. When I chat to women about the Nourish Method, they regularly ask, but how do you control how much you eat if you don't count calories? The thing is, once you're meeting your body's nutritional needs and your hormones start to rebalance, your body will be much better at regulating your appetite. You won't need to worry about overeating. You know, we start our nourishers off with a more structured approach so that their bodies can heal, and then they start to eat more intuitively and they still lose weight. And it's so liberating to not have to worry about how much you're eating and to be able to trust your appetite. So yes, Dr. Tim, calories are a lie. As a nutrition professional who is driven by what the research says, naturally I read a lot of research. And it means that I get the facts hot off the press. And when you read it in the papers or you see another nutrition or health documentary, it's old news to most nutritional therapists. So each week, I'm going to bring you my favorite thing that I learned that week. And this week, we've got a real corker because it blew my mind. And while it might seem like nutritionists can't make up their minds and that the advice is always changing, it actually changes at a snail's pace. So it's not often that something really big comes out that blows my mind. So the big headline that I'm sure you'll see in the papers in the not too distant future is global warming is making you fat. Yep, you heard it here first. So unless you have been living under a rock, you probably know that the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has been increasing over time. Well, it turns out that plants that are exposed to high levels of carbon dioxide end up being higher in carbohydrates. Now, we now think that fruits and vegetables and other plant-based foods used to be much higher in protein, but are becoming low in protein and high in carbs because of this. Now, remember earlier I said that carb-heavy meals raise blood sugars and increase fat storage hormones like insulin. Well, who knew that it's the plants making us fat? Now, we still need to eat plants and lots of them, but what it means is that we need to eat more food in order to get to our protein requirements, especially, you know, the protein-rich foods that we need to be eating more of, because humans have a really high demand for protein. And apparently, it's been documented that animals have been getting fatter too, and not just our overfed pets. It's believed that this process is really a key factor. And, you know, it's pretty depressing, really, because we already know that our fruits and vegetables are around 50% lower in vitamins and minerals than they were around 100 years ago. And now they're also losing their protein. So yeah, bit of a bummer. Sorry, I forgot to mention that my fun fact may not actually be very fun and uplifting, but now we know what we need to be eating, and we know that we need to be eating more protein to compensate. And that's even more reason for us to try and combat climate change. But I'll leave that topic to someone else with another podcast. Now, when I was a teenager, I used to love reading the Agony Aunt section of magazines. And partly because of this, but also because I know it's really helpful to hear about other people who are on the same journey as you and really get some practical tips, I wanted to do a reader's letter section to the podcast. So this week, it's obviously my first podcast, so I've got nothing to read you today. However, please send me your letters. Think to yourself, if I could ask a nutritionist anything, you know, anything to help me achieve my goals, what would it be? Make sure you give me some background information, like things that you've tried so far and how things went and anything else that you think would be helpful for me to answer your questions. And I'll keep it anonymous, of course, as well. So please send your questions to louise@louisedigbynutrition.com and put the subject podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you'd like to talk about anything that I've discussed in this episode, you can reach me on Facebook or Instagram by searching at Louise Digby Nutrition, or you can email me with your reader's letter. If you're enjoying this podcast, please, please, please head to iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Click follow and leave a review. Doing so will massively help. I realized the other day that there are several podcasts that I listen to constantly, but I never actually click follow. And following helps more people to discover the podcast. Thanks again, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you next time.